Hello, good afternoon. My name is Paul, and I work with Reality Games. We are a mobile gaming company located in Krakow, in Poland, and I will talk more about that later. So, I've attended a few talks earlier today, and some of the things that are really interesting to me in terms of what we're doing is the with Sergey Bykov's speech with his framework, Orleans framework. He talks about the cloud democratizing high-level computation, and so we are trying to democratize game development. And he also talked about like how less coding makes DevOps and these developers a little bit more productive. We are trying to make things easier for game developers by giving them content so they do less content development and more game mechanics and stuff. And so I also attended Blake Irvin's talk about people-first engineering. And so he talks about making things easier for users, and that's one thing that we're trying to do. And one of the things, I mean, Alibaba, the eBay for China, the reason why they're so successful is because they make things easy for the sellers. And then, so this simplicity is king, philosophy, and I also looked at the Kevin Crosby's speech about his platform for big data in finance and the stock market. And so we are kind of doing that for gaming as well. So let's jump right in. Okay, so the gaming industry, as you can see with this graph, is quite big. It's basically bigger than film and music combined. I mean, if you think about a mobile, mobile platforms, and you have Spotify, iTunes, and Netflix and stuff. So the gaming industry goes above and beyond what they are worth. So that means the gaming space is really, valuable. Okay, so with gaming, gaming has always been this pusher of technology, right? I mean, how many of you remember going to the going to bookshops to buy software in the box? Okay, I remember that. And in order to buy the coolest game, you need to go to your place where you buy computers and buy the latest line of Hewlett Packards and Packard Bells and so on, right? In order to play the best and the latest game. So gaming has always pushed that boundary, and it is continuing to do so with Oculus Rift and HTC Vive with virtual reality, and then right now also with Microsoft's HoloLens. There are going to be some gaming on that as well. And some of the latest games on your mobile phones require you to buy the latest mobile devices, so that's something. And on top of that, right now there are more personalized connections through the cloud, and that's a new thing. And because with World of Warcraft, League of Legends, and all that, you are connected to the cloud more than ever. And the GPUs are also a big thing in gaming, because with augmented reality and VR, the GPU will be really important in that development. Okay, this is interesting. All right, so the business side of mobile gaming. So how does it work? In order to get money in gaming, you have a few options. You can put ads in your games, and which happens in Android and iOS. You can do the freemium approach, where you give the game away for free, and then you charge people money for future things, and or you tell people to buy the game outright, and then you give the full version of it. And what do you really want? So you want people to download your game. You want people who downloaded your game to stay, to start playing, and then you want them to keep on playing, and then you want them to play your game a lot. So that's the golden trifecta of mobile gaming. So how do you do that? There are a slew of techniques to get it done. These are the most popular customer acquisition techniques, right? So I'm not going to go through all of them. You're going to get bored. So I'm just going to talk about some of them. Now, obviously, social media is really important, but you got to be careful, because unless if you have a person who are really connected to the millennials and stuff, if you try to be clever, you're going to fall flat on your face. So you have to be careful with that. Emailing, it's okay, but you got to do it when you have really loyal fans. You can't be emailing them all the time. You hate spam. Gamers hate spam. Everybody hates spam. And marketing automation, it's okay. But the biggest thing that you can do is to, and if you want your game to go viral, is word of mouth. Now, that's like really hard, because, I mean, there's no way you can predict what's going to be popular and what's not. Like, remember Pokemon? If you think about it, no American kid's going to want to play with a card with some Japanese avatars on it. But yet, it became amazingly popular. But a couple of years ago, this song Gundam Style, it became super popular. I don't know why it did, but it did. So mobile games is pretty much the same. Now, if you are able to get fans to, or get players to enjoy playing your game, then you, a lot of the marketing is already done for you. And then, of course, you want to keep them, right? So one of the things that you got to do is to build a community. One of the ways that you do it is to localize, because not everybody is a native English speaker. And if you want to reach some guy in the Philippines or some guy in Iran, with Iran, you got to localize to Farsi. In Philippines, you got to localize to Tagalog, right? So, and then not only with the language, you also got to use some graphics that would be familiar to them. We did that because it made perfectly business sense, and we've benefited quite a lot from that. And then, of course, updates and other things. But the big thing, and articles in popular press, that's cool, but the big thing is the word of mouth effect. Okay, so how is big data involved? Okay, so obviously you know about Facebook, Google, and with Mr. Crosby's platform with finance, and then with healthcare, you want they're using big data to try to save money and try to cure people. So, and with Spotify and Netflix, they use big data to make recommendations for you, so you enjoy what you're listening. And Netflix uses big data to, help you decide what to watch next. And how many of you are fans of the show House of Cards? Big data is involved in the writing of that show. So every single thing that Kevin Spacey does, big data is telling him, okay, this is what you do next. So that's how big data is dealing with entertainment. Okay, with gaming. So as you can see, here are some interesting statistics. There are over 2 billion gamers, and they are not only guys. Like 50% of mobile gamers are female. Okay, and they're producing terabits of data a day, and then you have all these, and Electronic Arts hosting all these games. So you got a 50 billion minutes of gameplay every month. That's a long time. So, because video games are happening in a virtual world, almost everything, basically everything, can be measured. And everything is measured. So, for example, we're in Spain, right? The big game is football. Now, if you can place a sensor inside the football and measure the speed at which the football goes and track where the football is every second of the match, and if you attach a sensor to every player and know how fast the players are moving, if they're getting tired, and I mean, it would bother Leo Messi to have to put on all these sensors, right? And it's, at the moment, the technology isn't there where we can do that. But in a video game, you can. And I think they are doing that all the time. So, and it's all happening in real time. So all the data that's being generated in the game is going into some database. Okay, so why do they do that? First, because you're playing the game and you're inside their walls, they can use that opportunity to make you buy stuff. They can use that opportunity to advertise to you. Like if you play FIFA, sometimes you see these advertisements along the sideboards, and those are real advertisements. And then you are competing with your friends, you're doing all that, so there's this social effect, and then you got this whole you got this whole tree where one little thing goes into a billion different people. Now, that is the type of interaction that regular apps cannot do. Okay, if you download your Uber app, the only time you use your Uber app is when you need a car. But with gaming, you're playing game, if you're a really big gamer, then you're playing your game all the time. Like, who here plays Candy Crush, or Bejeweled, or any mobile games. You're doing that all the time, right? You're on the tram or you're on the bus, you're playing that game. You're waiting for your plane, you're playing that game. You're in the plane, you're playing that game. Now, when you're inside the airplane, are you talking to Uber? No. So with gaming, they got you. But it's in a good way. Because why? You're having fun. And as game developers, the player's enjoyment and satisfaction is our main concern. Okay, so how do we use the data? We use it to calculate rewards, give you some achievement points, give you some in-game trophies, and all these achievements, which you can tell your friends, or it's something where you can say, okay, I did it, yay, right? So if you're playing FIFA, you win Champions League, it's like, it's a cool thing. Even though you're not going to tweet to your friends about it, you're just feeling good that, hey, I won Champions League. So same thing. And it is done to enhance customer engagement and retention. Okay, so to keep up with all this gaming data, of course, a popular technique is Hadoop, so you have these three data areas: player, game, and session. And okay, so to improve the game experience, again, we're taking game analytics and help using those analytics to help us develop the game better and see, okay, which areas the players are having trouble with. So we'll attack that area and try to figure out, okay, how we can make the things easier for the players and make it more intuitive, because if you download the game and the game confounds you, you're just going to delete the game. We don't want you to do that. And of course, with all this computing, that looked really good at the time, but no. Oh, another thing. We're going to talk a lot more about that later. It's about social and economic experiments, because there are certain policies and economic policies that you cannot do in real life, because when you implement economic policies, you're dealing with real people and with their lives. But with gaming, you are dealing with virtual people. So if they go through some hardship, it's not so bad. And if real people go through hardship and you are a politician, you're not going to keep your job. So in the gaming world, you can try that out. And because there are real people playing, you can say, okay, if we enacted this policy, and how will it work with a big population? And then you get to find out without hurting real people. Although sometimes your players might get a little upset. Okay, same thing with that. Okay, so what are we doing? Okay, so in reality games, we are building a game engine, much like Mr. Crosby's platform, to help gamers or game developers build games and build it easier. So what we do is we take data from these different areas and we somehow package it together and help, and we're hoping to license it to game developers to help them develop their games and then take a one big step out of their game development process. Because one of the things about mobile gaming is you have to make background content. Like if you're doing World of Warcraft, you gotta build this whole world, you gotta have these characters, and you gotta decide what are these characters' strengths and weaknesses. Well, it takes a lot of time to do that. And a lot of game developers simply don't have that much time or can't be bothered to do all that. They just want to make a game to monetize. So we are cutting out this whole like content creation by using real data. So like social media and so on. So that's the thing. And then we're taking data from YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter, Foursquare, and so on. Now, here is a case study. Okay, we have a game called Landlord, Real Estate Tycoon. And what it is, it's a mobile game. It's like Monopoly. So I'll give you an example. So we are in Latamica, right? And you will find Latamica on Foursquare. So if you go to the game, you'll see that Latamica is not hasn't been bought yet. So you can buy either the whole facility, or you can buy shares of the facility. Now, if people start checking in on their Foursquare or checking in on their Facebook, you, as the owner of Latamica, you collect rent on that. And so, and that's how, that's a example of how it can be done. And we use this game to as a tutorial to teach us how things would go. And so, as a result, at the moment, we're facing millions of transactions a day. And in fact, I would encourage you to download it because it's fun anyway. A little shameless plug on my part. Now, the results, okay? We have over 500,000 players, like active players every month, and we have just went over 1.5 million downloads, and we're growing quite a lot, 10% each week. Our founder just went over to San Francisco to collect the Game Connection America 2016's People's Choice Award. So we are an award-winning organization. And again, we localized this game to 45 languages. So if your English isn't great, you can play in your native language. Now, how does it affect big data? Okay. Now, I'm a player. I'm not just an employee. I'm also one of the players, and it's quite engaging. I must say, and I'm buying things inside well, properties in Krakow, and it's kind of cool because you see things happening in real life, and then you see all these people going into a establishment that I have in my portfolio, and I see the rent going up and up and up. So that's kind of cool. And that's the big thing. With games like this, you can see the things happening in the game, it's happening in real life. So if you see people playing with their phones in, let's say, a cafe that is in your portfolio, you'll see inside the game the data going more favorable for you. And there's a real supply and demand curve in this. And then one of the things is that you get to own some pretty cool properties. Like you can actually be one of the owners of the cathedral in the city center. And so, okay, so how does it help big data? Okay, these are some of the things. Okay, so because we're cutting out a large part of the game development thing, the developer can put their product out on the market really quick, and he can start monetizing really quickly, and because there's all this data, and so we're actually using the data, and we are putting the data back in. So it's like this big loop, and so on. And what are we hoping to do in the future? We have a game in process of development, which is Weather Challenge, and you are, it's a weather app, which you get to guess the weather, and you would get points for that, and you get to challenge your friends with that, and we are talking with Channel 4 in the UK and NBC in America to do some sort of cooperation where where national weather presenters would be challenged by the players to with their predictions. And of course, there would be some sort of push notification and so on and so on. And why is it going to work? Because weather is a really important part of people's days. I mean, one of the things about Silicon Valley and probably here is that with all this sun, you feel good all the time and you're more productive. So that's a thing. And then it's a good content generator because people's predictions can be used as data for other things, like a longitudinal study. And these are actual people making predictions, not some computer. And we are developing Speculate, which is a stock market game where you gain points by social media engagements on Facebook and Twitter. And so, again, we are developing the game engine, and from that, we're hoping to be in possession of a big amount of data, which we can get, we can somehow analyze and sell to businesses so they can do their thing. So, let me summarize. Okay, so big data is helping the industry to get player metrics. They are making games more engaging to gamers, and there are ample opportunities to monetize on in-game activities. And what we are doing is using big data as content and making it more transactional, where people are interacting with big data all the time, and hopefully do something really great with it. Okay, so I thank you for attending my speech. If there are any questions and comments, I'm welcoming it. We are Reality Games, and I'm Paul Chen. Oh, we are looking for Scala developers and Unity. So if you know people, please tell them about us. Thank you very much.
So are there any questions for Paul? Sorry, while we're running around the microphone.
Don't worry about it.
If you hear the question, if we could repeat the question.
Someone in the slide you mentioned shorter development times for developers.
Mm-hmm.
I was not sure that I understood you there. It was, I think, 3 slides back.
Okay, yeah. The thing with shorter development times is that with regular developers, they have to create all this extra content like background stories and characters and so on. And with our game, we're using real stuff like real properties and real events. So because of that, because Mother Nature and people have done it already for big data, game developers using our engine don't need to create all that.
They don't need to create all the data.
All the characters and all the stories. Okay, thank you.
So I saw your proposal to use the crowd to predict the weather. Mm-hmm. Have you thought of getting the crowd to predict something like the UK exiting Europe or the US elections or anything like that?
That's a really valid suggestion, and it's a really good one, and there are already some people. There's a group that is funded by a lot of universities called Predicted, and they're doing something like that. So we were thinking about it, but then we went across this thing, and then we decided, okay, it's already happening. Better not be a competitor. Thank you.
Any other questions? Oh, one back there, please.
Hello. You talked about social experiments in-game. Now, there's a big difference between real life and gaming. I mean, in real life, you have social conventions.
Mm-hmm.
In a game, in real life, you would never kill people, but in a game, you don't make a problem with that. How do you filter the effect? I mean, how do you have to filter the results of in-game social experiments to take into consideration the lack of social conventions?
Well, with our game, there's not so much of that type of interaction. It's mostly players dealing with big data and getting stuff from big data and then putting data back in. And then, okay, we do have And then we try to keep our interaction very simple, so we don't deal with some sort of mafia or people killing other people. That's because if you get into that, then things get a little weird.
Yeah.
So we don't want to touch that.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Okay, so I'll be here all night. So if you have anything come up in your head, please look out for me. Thank you.
Thank you.